This is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're setting up and learning from the Sensei of Mattitude. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch WrestleTalk Radio. And in closing, I am
the one! Oh.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the sound, Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you've got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Kid TJ Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
And Andy C. It's still real to me, damn it! With your host,
are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
Spud.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Hold the Raven. Eat my shorts.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to WrestleTalk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where tonight we are proud to introduce, not right now, but very soon, the one and only Charlie Haas. Also with me tonight, we have this bug guy. He's probably got his mic muted, but oh well. And we've also got Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You might notice I didn't say Radio Didio, but that, you know, I say that for random DJ nights. And, hey, Mace, I hear that you're planning on doing Mace's version of random DJ nights.
Yes, I am. I shall be getting on that as soon as I can be bothered finding a night to do it.
All right, well then we'll see what we can do to bother you. And of course we've got the Spud guy got a phone call from your gallbladder. It misses your spleen, Spud.
Fuck my gallbladder. You can go to hell.
Okay, is your mic even plugged in or is it like close to your mouth or whatever?
No, Mike. It's fucking right here. It's fine.
There.
You have to turn yourselves up.
No, it's not us needing to turn ourselves up, it's you needing to talk into the microphone. Yeah, everybody, that's right. You've
go
probably
fuck yourself.
There you go. You probably read it in a couple of press releases around the World Wide Web today. You may have heard us talking about it last night on CB Radio or a couple of nights before. But, yeah, tonight we're going to be talking with one half of the world's greatest tag team, the one and only Charlie Haas. Kind of looking forward to what he's got to say about reuniting with Shelton Benjamin, Mace.
Just more interested in asking him about his time in tag team wrestling as one of the only few teams that were actually innovative in the last 10 or so years.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of looking forward to his responses about doing the imitations. That might be interesting, Spug.
I'm going to ask him about his match with Rico.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, we're going to be asking him a lot of questions. You came to the right place to get the answers. Once again, everybody, Charlie Haas will be debuting in Ring of Honor coming up very soon. And if you are able to get the World Wide Web, you can go to GoFightLive.tv. Check it out. That's coming up September the 11th this year.
By the way, I'm going to sound really stupid here, but I can't remember how to spell pendulum.
P-E-N-D-U-L-U-M. Pendulum. You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
You're very welcome. You going to ask him a question about pendulums?
No, I'm downloading music.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if you were implying that you swing both ways.
No. I'm downloading music, and one of my favorite electronic bands is named Pendulum, and they spell it funky, and so I have to remember how to spell it the right way so I can spell it the way they spell it.
Oh, okay.
They spell it P-E-N-D-E-U-L-L-Y-M.
So they basically spell it wrong, in other words, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And I have to remember how to spell it right to be able to spell it the way they spell it.
I see. Well, that
Don't question
sense.
My brain.
Spug, nobody can question your brain. I mean, there's not a question anybody can think up that would make up enough sense to figure out what's going on inside that brain of yours. Just saying. So, Mace, what's been new and improved with you this past week?
Well, nothing really new and improved with me. However, our country is going through a bit of a weird spell at the moment. We've just had our big election to see which party is going to rule over the nation, and it's a 50-50 deadlock.
Okay, so when does the final stuff come through?
They're saying anywhere from 7 to 10 days before we will know a final result. And there's a very big possibility that for the first time since World War II, Australia might have to do the vote again.
Well, that'll be damned interesting. I'll tell you, that might be a little too close to count. Just as long as a Green Party isn't involved, I'll be happy.
One Green Party did get into the lower house and do hold a tiny bit of power now.
Damn, that kind of sucks, because people who say that they're with a Green Party are hell-bent on making sure that their part of the planet isn't destroyed, and to hell with the rest of the world.
Hey, they're all for faster Australian internet and no internet filter, so, you know, good for them.
I see. Okay, well, we should let everybody know that we're not going to make you wait an hour while we goof around and talk wrestling stuff and stuff like that. We are actually bringing Charlie Haas on in approximately 8 minutes or so. So we're gonna get things kicked off with a bang. Also coming up tonight, we're going to be talking about Billy Gunn. Something's going on with a certain somebody and Billy Gunn in his life, and we're gonna talk about that. We're not gonna exactly bury Billy. We're not gonna praise him.
Should.
Well, retard. We could. Yeah, what he did was kind of stupid, but what's even worse is what the girl did to get even. You wanna know what we're talking about? Stay tuned after the Charlie Haas interview. Also, on the injury front, Skip Sheffield apparently injured himself at a house show in Hawaii. TNA, they're doing some juggling because of the way that they do contracts. We're going to talk about that as well. A fake fight between a couple of wrestlers. And, of course, we don't have Omega or Will. We're not going to call it the fake debate. We postponed it once. We're not going to postpone it twice. We just might pick one or two members of the audience to call in tonight to 877-588-9877, option number 3, and join us with the great debate. Hulk Hogan takes it on Sting. Ric Flair goes up against Vader. And, of course, we got a couple of quick hits. It's going to be a lot shorter than it normally is. So what's on your mind tonight, Spug?
Nothing. Nothing really at all.
Wow.
God damn it, son of a bitch.
He can't find the song he's looking for. What's on your mind tonight, Mace?
I'm pretty much wondering how I'm going to do this interview, considering I don't have any questions prepared.
Oh, so you basically did the typical Russell Talk Radio WTR Wild Talk Radio Network research.
Yeah, I was watching Digimon.
I was about to say, sit on your ass and watch Digimon. You geek.
I can't help it. I'm a proud geek.
Okay, Proud Geek, did you at least vote in the Aussie elections?
Yes, I did, seeing as the voting station was right across the road.
Well, at least you did your, I don't know, your civic duty or your national duty? Your national duty.
Yeah, except when I went over, I had in my head exactly who I was going to vote for and everything. And, of course, there are people from four major parties there. Labor Party, Liberal Party, the Greens, and Family First.
Okay.
Right. Is so Family First your version of the Republicans, just out of curiosity?
They're basically the, oh my God, won't somebody think of the children.
Ah, there you go. Yeah,
so no, Labor Party would be the Republicans.
Very conservative, want to tax everybody?
No.
Yeah, that would be...
That would be the Democrats here, actually.
Okay.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah. it's sort of hard to explain, but yeah. But as I was saying with my quick little story, just walking over to put my vote in, knew exactly who I was going to vote for, go past the Labor and Liberal Party people. I said, look, don't give me any paperwork. I know exactly what's going on. The Greens guy started coming up, said to him the same thing. And then finally the Family First one came up to me and basically shoved the paper in my hand. So I thought, oh, well, that's it. You're not getting a vote at all.
There you go.
Push your paperwork and your values on me, you can go and get fucked.
Oh, my goodness. Spoken like a true single dude, I guess. I don't know. Hey, everybody listen to WTR Night, Russ Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right on the other side of our first break, we're going to bring to the program one half of the former and future world's greatest tag team, former three-time WWE tag champ, the one and only Charlie Haas. Make sure you stick around for that. We'll be back right after this.
You want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it would take hours.
Are they going to make steam turn blue? I don't want steam turn blue.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. Is it a photo album somewhere? Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you could tell us about?
No. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And it seems that him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. He was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way. Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey you! Yeah you! The one tuned in to WildTalkRadio.com. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for tuning into this fine program right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their request.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks once again, everybody, for joining us tonight. At this time, I'd like to welcome to WTR Sunday Night one half of the once and future world's greatest tag team, three-time WWE tag title holder, husband and father, Charlie Haas. Now, you can catch Charlie on September 11th as he makes his Ring of Honor debut alongside his longtime tag team partner, Shelton Benjamin, as they square off against the King of Wrestling at ROH's Glory by Honor 9. You can catch all the action live on GoFightLive.tv. Charlie, welcome to the show this evening.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, man. Good intro, too. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. First things first, Charlie, how's the family doing? You and Jackie became parents for the third time back in June, was it?
That's right. June 1st, and sleep, as you know, it is no longer available, but at least for the next probably 4 months. I mean, he's up like every other hour eating, so, I mean, he just never sleeps and wants to eat. So it's a boy, so we have our first boy. I have two girls, and now I got my boy, so... I think our family's complete, though. But, yeah, we just became parents for the third time, and everyone's doing well, really good.
Oh, that's good, and congratulations to you on that. Being a father myself, I know how special it is.
Yeah.
Let me take time here to introduce you to our panel. Both of these guys are independent wrestlers in their own respective lands. First off, we got a guy from Ohio, calls himself Spug, the Spug Guy.
How you doing, Charlie?
What's up, my man?
And we've got a guy from Australia, all the way from the land down under, who wrestles in that great country under the name Mace. Mace, say hi to Charlie Haas.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Mace, how's it going?
Not bad, mate. I've actually got the first question for you tonight, and this sort of goes back to what a lot of people would consider the very beginning of the career for you. Just wondering, your tryout match with the WWF back in 2000 with your brother Russ. Yeah,
right.
It's one thing to get a tryout with the WWE. What was it like actually getting your tryout at Madison Square Garden, one of the biggest arenas and well-known arenas of all time?
Man, it was it was pretty crazy of all the places too. You know, because back then it was a lot harder. Even to WWF or WWE, they were still at wars with WCW, even though WCW was on its downfall. And, so they'd bring a bunch of talent and you'd be handpicked in order to do a dark match. And they only had probably two dark matches at the time. So we were very fortunate, and very lucky, but we were also very good. So, we were scared to death, man. We really were. So to go into MSG to do that, and then after that, we were told to report the Meadowlands the next night for SmackDown in New Jersey, right across the river, the Hudson River. So we went over there, performed, and they offered us contracts, you know, right away. So I guess it's timing, man. But like you said, it was very, it was pretty cool though to be in MSG.
Now, Charlie, speaking of your career, your debut match, I want to go a little bit further into your SmackDown career in a match that you had with a gentleman by the name of Rico.
Okay.
Now, I recently underwent surgery in my hospital stay. I subscribed to the WWEClassics.com and was watching a bunch of stuff and come across this match in the section they call the strange and mysterious of whatever. When you're in the back and you're talking to Rico, trying to keep as much as kayfabe as I can. When you guys are going back and forth with what you want to do, I mean, how did he convince you to do the things that you did in the ring? I mean, some of your facial expressions and the things and the psychology you did in that match were absolutely phenomenal.
Well, you gotta look at it two ways, man. You can either do business or not do business. You can either not get his character over, and by doing that, you're not gonna get yourself over. Rico, well, I'll even go back further. Rico was probably my first match after my brother died in a dark match that we had in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, he went out of his way to really make me look good after that. It was a really emotional moment. This is before he was Rico the Stylist. He was just Rico. Dude, we tore it up. So, I mean, I kind of owed it to him, and I knew what he was trying to do. So, you know, I was just really willing to make it work, you know. I just wanted to. Plus, I knew it was after coming off Shelton where we were just so hardcore technical wrestlers that this was kind of a match that would be more, like you said, more facial expression, body language, more fun. And, I mean, I went out to do the best thing I could do with it. And after that match, they decided to put the tag titles on us the next week, you know. So, I mean, it just goes to show, man, if you give 110%, and we weren't expecting to be tag or get the titles. And they said, you know, you guys did such a good job, we'd like to make it like an odd couple tag team, and we're going to put the titles on you, which was out of the blue. So it just goes to show, man, whatever they deal with you or wherever you are, you know, if it's lemons, make lemonade out of it.
Wow. I'm shocked because, I mean, I watched that match. And, you know, I'm a big fan of ring psychology and crowd psychology. I love watching Jake the Snake and Ric Flair and people like that. Could you just talk a little bit about your personal experience of learning and how to work the psychology into your matches?
One thing, like, if you're teaching, or especially now, like, I'm back on the indies and I'm working with guys that they do a lot of great moves. And I mean, and when I first came off the indies working with Jersey All Pro and CZW, I mean, I was kind of into that whole, you know, you want to do moves, you want to do all this crazy stuff. And you think that doing all that and you get the pops from the fans, you know, but what you're doing is you're just working for pops. You know, you're not working psychology. And so that's one thing I did learn in the developmental system under Jim Cornette. Under in Memphis, under Lawler, under Arn Anderson, under Briscoe, up at WWE, is that, man, you can do so much, you can get away with so much more with such less. Randy Orton taught me the biggest thing. He's like, Charlie, he goes, I don't do jack all in the ring. He goes, I'm very limited. He goes, but everything I do, I get so much out of and so much more with my facials, my body language, the way I work a hold. He goes, that's all I do. He goes, and that gets you over, or that gets the match over, you know, and putting the psychology in the right place to where, you know, if it's so basic to get to where you have to go, just do it. You know, less is more. Don't hit the guy 20 times in the corner and then shoot him off. Or don't beat him up and then shoot him off. I mean, hit him one time, let it sell, and let him sell into the spot that you want to put him instead of shooting him off somewhere. I mean, so you really, it's like, I guess the whole saying is less is more, you know, and you'd rather make it look good and then make it look real crappy. So, I mean, that's something that a lot of the indies you have to get out of, and you got to understand. I mean, yeah, it's great stuff, and the crowd pops for it, but I mean, they're just popping for moves. Like, if you want longevity, and I guess Randy's the best example. You know, he's so over now because he's so believable. You know, I think he's the best heel in the business right now.
Someone want to take it from here?
All right. Just going back to your tag team with Shelton Benjamin for the first time, I remember when you guys first were the tag team, you were basically the tag team to watch. You come up with some of the most amazing tag moves that I've seen in probably 10 years. I'm just wondering, how much practice would go into those moves, or were they just something you come up with on the fly?
Man, to be honest with you, we practiced harder than anybody. People don't, they had us tagging together for 6 months before they debuted us. I mean, actually, Team Angle was supposed to be me, Russ, my brother, Kurt, and then we're going to bring, and then Shelton's going to be brought in. It was going to be four of us. And then Russ died, and then I blew my knee out like a month after he died, tore my ACL, meniscus, everything. So, I mean, and then they shut HWA down, but they decided to keep me, which probably because they just felt bad for me. But when I got down to Louisville, or Cornette actually fought to keep me because he just maybe did feel bad for me, or he had the idea of putting Shelton and I together. And so they waited till my knee healed, and then they started putting us together. And I think, you know, it was a lot of hard work. It was us getting in the ring before every match on the house shows or TV, and it was working probably 2 hours a day with Arn Anderson. I mean, Arn, I have to give everything to Arn. I mean, he pulled us aside before we started. He said, if you guys let me coach you, if I have to jump your ass, I will. He goes, I'll make you the best tag team that anyone's ever seen since us. And, you know, being an amateur wrestler and Shelton being an amateur wrestler and being coached your whole life, I mean, we're used to being coached, and I love constructive criticism. I mean, if it sucked, tell me, because that way I know how to work to make it better. So when it is good, it's good. I just don't want anyone to tell me it's good and it'd be terrible. So, I mean, we worked day in and day out, probably until they split us up. We were in the ring every day, I mean, working together on anything we could, the psychology, working different body parts. I mean, just over and over, repetition, you know. Just on any of the extras that they would come in and ring with us. I mean, so we busted our ass to earn that name that they gave us.
Yeah, well, as you just mentioned, you did have Arn helping you out with your tag team work. Does that mean that Kurt was basically just a storyline only, or was he a guy who would get in the ring with you guys and give you advice, help you out, sort of see where you guys can improve?
Kurt would definitely help us out. But when it came, you know, you gotta remember now, Kurt wasn't a tag team wrestler, you know, and we were built to be a tag team around him. So they wanted us to be different than all, it was just like two guys they threw together. They wanted us to be special and to be the ones that are, you know, deflect everything off Kurt. Kurt was definitely helping us out. He'd watch him and tell us what to do, when to turn up the intensity, you know, but when it came to the tag team psychology, that's where Arn stepped in, where Kurt really does, I mean, he does now, but at the time, I mean, he didn't really know the psychology. I mean, who better for a tag team mentor than Arn Anderson? I mean, I couldn't name anyone else better, you know? But Kurt did help us on the stuff like from the translation or the, you know, the translation, I guess that's right. The transition, I mean, from amateur wrestling into pro wrestling and telling us, okay, when to make it look real, when to turn it up, when to change gears, okay, when to slow it down. So it was a mixture of both. But, you know, the psychology for the tag team, I'd have to give it to, I mean, it's all Arn Anderson.
Now, we have a couple of standard questions that we ask around here, and I know you're short on time, so I'm going to try and make it quick. But we like to ask guests that we have on here about the best rib that they've seen, pulled, or had pulled on them. And you spent some time with Arn Anderson and Cornette and Angle and Benjamin and through the Indies, so if you have any stories to share, there's nobody listening but us and a couple hundred thousand people, so go for it.
I think one of the best ribs was in Memphis, and I remember it was on Wolfie D, and we stayed over our apartment one night. We had to be at TV in Memphis the next morning, but it was a party the night before, so he was pretty intoxicated. So I remember him going into my brother's bathroom and like peeing all over their towels and stuff. Like he was just, he didn't know what he was doing. So to get back, he got in. He's like, we woke up. We're like, yo, we got to get to TV. We're late. We got to go. He's like, man, can someone give me some deodorant? So Russ gave him a stick of Icy Hot, not knowing that it was deodorant. I mean, so he put it on. He's still pretty messed up. So as we're driving, he's like, man, my underarms are burnt out. I don't know what's going on. It's like, shit, man, I'm on fire. What's going on? And so it was kind of a payback for peeing all over his towels. That was a pretty good rib.
That's not bad. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's not bad at all, man. That's not bad at all.
Charlie, we've got a question from our right. interactive chat room here, and it's about the imitation angle. During this imitation angle that you did, were there any wrestlers that you really wanted to impersonate but didn't get a chance to or weren't allowed to?
I had more wrestlers coming up to me wanting me to imitate them. Like Shawn Michaels wanted me to do him so bad. He was going to give me everything, all the outfit, you know, Taker, Kane. I mean, they were more into it than I was, you know, and that's the problem. When they saw that the wrestlers were wanting to get into it, were wanting to start to do stuff with me, that's when someone in creative is like, oh, this is getting over. We better stop it. So it's the political bullshit that's a whole nother conversation about.
Well, if you want to talk about it, you're welcome to come back anytime.
I will, but it'd be like an hour conversation. I mean, it would be, let's reschedule that, because that's another conversation for another time.
Okay, sounds good.
just another sort of standardized question that we have for wrestlers that we interview. If you have any advice for anybody looking to get into the wrestling business or improve themselves in the wrestling business, what would it be?
Well, one, I tell everyone that comes up to me, they're like, my kid wants to be a wrestler. What should I do? I go to college, get your degree. Why? Because I'm telling you, WWE, after you're done, that's where you want to go, because there's really nowhere else to make money. You know, very few, unless you get into TNA, but very few are going to be like an AJ or a Samoa Joe and work their way up to that money over there. But, if you're not, And I hate to burst anyone's bubble that wants it, man, but I mean, there's no union. There's no 401k plan. It's a starving business. And usually you go in it poor and you come out of it poor. And if you aren't good with your money, or if you don't have a degree or something to fall back on, I mean, because WWE's not going to take care of you when they're done. I mean, they could care less, like, about what I'm doing or what Shelton's doing or anyone else they let go. I've buried my two best friends in the last 6 months, Lance Cade and Umaga. They're not there to help support their families or pay a pension or pay any type of a 401k to those families. You know, so, you know, I mean, I stress to people, you know, really, if you're going to get into it, make sure you invest, make sure you put a retirement plan, because if you die and you have a family, man, I'm watching those families starve and really suffer because there's nothing there. You know, so, I mean, really get a college degree to fall back on. It's sad, but, I mean, that's just the truth, and that's the way the business is.
Yeah. You just mentioned investments, Charlie. You've actually got a venture going on with JBL, do you not?
Right. We have an online nutrition store, which is a cash flow positive business because we don't have an overhead. We use distributors and, you know, to send off the product that they order through us. The only thing you have to worry about is, the only thing with that is it's a lot of marketing, you know, a lot of search engine marketing or search engine optimization on the internet. But once you get that down or once you get that established, it starts, you know, like anything, it takes any small business that you're trying to open takes about 18 months to get off the ground, which, I mean, we've opened it over a year ago, but it's really, you know, starting to take off with the right marketing plan. So, I mean, to invest. I also have a retail nutrition store, a brick and mortar. And, I'm looking, I'm doing the indies or working, you know, like I said, I got Ring of Honor coming up, so we're debuting that, so we'll see what happens after that. But I'm also looking to use my degree, you know, to go into sales or any type of, sales to where I can do both, you know. I just got to, right now it's not about me, it's about my family. It's about how I can support them, you know, and that's the best way, because all I want to do is I want to provide for them and give them a better life than what I have. That's all I want.
Yeah, that's perfectly understandable. As a matter of fact, I'd love to talk to you at some point in time at your convenience about your online venture. I'm sure that we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network might be able to do something to help you out a little bit further.
I'd love it, man.
Yeah, you know, one more customer is one more customer. That's for darn sure. But looking ahead here a little bit, September 11th, you're making your Ring of Honor debut. You're going to be reunited with Shelton Benjamin.
Right.
Now, what, you know, are you a little bit nervous about that? Looking forward to working with Shelton again, kind of excited?
Man, I'm really looking forward. Well, man, to be honest, I'm ecstatic, man. I mean, I'm so excited. I'm so excited, man. Hold on 1 second. Why? What's wrong? Okay. All right. I'll be right. Sorry. My girls are like fighting with each other. Okay. Let me finish this. That's okay. Now I'm a dad. Mom's at the Comic-Con. I'm single dad this weekend. And you got two daughters that are fighting, so I guess they take after me more than anything. yeah, sorry for the interruption. No, to be honest with you, dude, we're ecstatic. I mean, I'm so pumped. I've been training so hard. Like, I've really just, not only did I open up a nutrition store, but I've also been doing boot camps every, like, 4 days out of the week. So I've really turned into my body. Like, I've just changed it around where I'm doing more CrossFit training and to make me just better for this match coming up. And I know Shelton's been training, which is very, he never lifts a weight or does any type of cardio. And he's been like, he's doing all my exercise and diet plans I've been sending him. So he's really excited because not only are we debuting together, this is the first time, which is going to be really special, but we're doing it with Jim Cornette and, you know, Kevin Kelly and Dave Lagana, but we're doing it, and a company that's going to enjoy wrestling and a company that's going to let us wrestle the way we want. Company that, hey, you guys got 6 minutes with entrances, go out and do a 4 minute match. I mean, we can go 25 minutes with another tag team that's very well established that, and yeah, we've been researching them and I got all their DVDs from the Big Bang to everything that they put out lately. And, I'm really excited to wrestle them. I mean, I think Claudio and Chris Hero, I think we're going to tear it up. I think they're very well suited for us, very similar in size. They're very unique and what they do is very good. And I think, you know, I mean, I'm going down to Houston in about a week and then Shelton and I are going to go to Booker T School. We're going to come up with a whole bunch of new stuff, man, that, you know, so you'll see some of the old stuff, but we're going to do a lot of new stuff because we want to steal the show. We'll make this the match of the year if a tag team match could do that. And I think we're very fortunate to do with a tag team that's that good.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I for one am definitely looking forward to your debut in Ring of Honor. Of course, me having had the privilege to work with the latest incarnation of Stampede Wrestling here in Calgary, know exactly what you're talking about. I've got the chance to watch guys like Tyson Kidd, T.J. Wilson, Ari Smith, and you know, Natalya Neidhart actually put on 30-minute matches and really, really tear the house down. And so I can relate, I guess, in that way. So,
We're excited, man. And we're very thankful, like, for Kerry Sulkin to bring us in to give us this opportunity. I mean, and, you know, with Cornette brokering it and bringing it in, and, you know, Lagana for pushing for us and Kevin Kelly. It's just, we're really excited. I mean, now people, you know, we can't use the term world's greatest tag team because of, you know, copyrights that WWE owns, but he can't copyright initials, and so we just changed it to wrestling's greatest tag team, you know, or the world's greatest. So, but you know, one way or the other, it's going to be a real special moment. One, be back in the ring with him. Two, in New York City at the Manhattan Center, and three, on 9/11, and you know, for that day that took place, you know, on the anniversary. So, and it's a pay per view, and it's against, you know, which I probably think is one of the best tag teams in wrestling today right now. So.
Yeah. Well, once again, everybody, this is Charlie Haas that we're speaking with. He's going to be re-teaming with his former partner, Shelton Benjamin, Ring of Honor's Glory by Honor 9. You can catch the action live at GoFightLive.tv. And, Charlie, I know what it's like being Mr. Mom, as it were, and having to deal with the kids. So I want to say thank you very much for giving us the amount of time that you're able to give. We'd love to have you come back and talk a lot more when you've got a little bit more time. As we go to break, can we just get you to hang on the phone line for a quick second?
Yeah, sure. Not a problem.
Great. Thanks. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Nick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer, as well news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy.
Christian Cage,
Barry, Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
yesterday,
Bret the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Pillman, the quickest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wolf and Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
This is Mace with an announcement from the head of the Wild Talk Radio Network. With the goal in mind to keep ratings as high as they are with DJ Tim Stein and DJ Sir Rockin', the Wild Talk Radio Network hereby releases Maverick and Nick from the network. Just kidding, guys. This is the Wild Talk Radio Network, where friends get together to have fun and make fun of Mav.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. It was really brief, and that's the bad news. The good news is Charlie Haas, during the break, we had a chat with him, has agreed to return to Wrestle Talk Radio as soon as possible. He's going to do the entire 2 hours fielding questions, and we'll even take phone calls and do what we can to get all of your chat room questions answered and all that other wonderful stuff. So once again, thank you very much to Charlie Haas. Don't forget, you can catch him on Ring of Honor on September 11th. GoLive.tv or I can't remember now, but I'll be told in just a sec because, well, GoFightLive.tv is where you can catch his debut in Ring of Honor with Shelton Benjamin. You want to go to that. So, continuing with the show tonight, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of different things. Skip Sheffield, TNA stripping Rob Van Dam, a couple of wrestlers staging a fake fight and getting in trouble with the cops for it. But some of you have heard about this, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you haven't. Billy Gunn is, well, basically, I guess you could say his personal life is in a bit of a shambles, and the entire thing's falling down around him. Billy Gunn, Kip James, Monty Sopp, his real name, whatever you want to call him, has, on a regular basis, worked with a Winnipeg, Canada wrestling federation what is that called again? WFX? Or something like that. Or XFW. Yeah, WFX. Thank you very much, Jersey Girl in the chat room. You watch that. You've seen the action. And, yeah, he's actually a regular member of the roster. And apparently, according, and we're saying alleged because it hasn't really 100% been proven, you know, quote unquote, he's carried on an illicit affair with somebody I like to call a ring rat.
Now, Tim.
Yeah.
You know that 95% of women who go to shows, when the ticket says doors open at 6, bell time at 7:30, 90% of the women who show up at 6 when the doors open are ring rats. The other 10%, 5% are wrestlers' wives and girlfriends. And 5% are just there to be there.
Well, that may be true in your neck of the woods, Spud Guy, but it's not something I ever encountered when Stampede Wrestling was going on here in Calgary. Yeah, you had the wives and or girlfriends of the professional wrestlers, more girlfriends than wives, because the wrestlers weren't exactly old enough to be married with kids and all that other fun stuff. But yeah, there are, you know, rock and roll has groupies, and rock stars get in trouble banging the groupies, so it really doesn't come as any kind of a shock or surprise that a pro wrestler would wind up banging one of, a pro wrestling groupie. This, however, was taken to the extreme. I don't know if you heard any of the YouTube postings, Mace or Spug.
Some of them, and they were utterly hilarious.
Yeah, they were kind of funny. What about you, Mace? Have you heard any of these things?
I did check out the first part. It's like one of nine or something like that. And, yeah, I was like Spug. I was laughing. It was friggin' hilarious. But there should always be the single rule with ring rats. Don't stick your dick in it. Get you nothing but trouble.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, the thing here is, like, I listened to all nine different posts, and they're all, like, 8.5-9 minutes long. And it's basically this girl trying to make herself look bad and Kip look, or make herself look good and Kip look bad. And anybody posting anything negative about her gets deleted immediately, I know, because I posted about 5 or 6 times. My posting was immediately flagged, finally, as spam, and as a result, it doesn't show up on the site or anything like that. So the only posts allowed on this were people, you know, in support of her and stuff like that. And I'm sorry, but when somebody looks absolutely 100% squeaky clean to all outwards appearances, you know that there's more going on and things are being hidden. This girl, I did some digging, has got a few things to hide, one of them being an absolutely bitchy vindictive streak. Okay, so Kip did the right thing and dumped her and says, listen, we can't do this. I'm not doing the right thing. She gets all upset and everything. She posts stuff on her Facebook, claims that she blocks it from all the other wrestlers and everything else like that. Apparently, she didn't block it well enough because not only did certain members of WFX see it, the promoter being the most important one, his wife saw the Facebook postings as well about her going on about her affair with Kip James and pictures of the two of them together, you know, and these pictures that I have seen, they don't look like, you know, incriminating or damning or anything like that. The thing that really shot him in the ass was all the pretty much all the phone calls and stuff. Now, I'm not saying that you should cheat, and I'm not condoning it, and I will never condone it as somebody who's been a victim in the past of a cheating spouse, if you will. I find it rather abhorrent, personally speaking. But if you're going to be stupid enough, like you said, Mace, to stick your dick where it don't belong, make sure there aren't any cameras around. Now, go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
Nobody was talking. I was just going to say,
Tim, pure and simple, just don't stick your dick in it, whether there's cameras around or not. Mm. Ring rats are nothing but trouble.
This is absolutely true. The main problem that I have with this is the last one that was posted. Apparently, her ex-boyfriend, the father of her kid, was at her place when they were on the phone, and he actually uttered a death threat. Now, 99% of the time, you're going to hear somebody say, I'm going to fucking kill you, and you don't think anything of it because nothing's going to come of it. However, if he would choose to press charges based on what was said, it is no longer he said, she said, because this bimbo put it up on the internet, recorded its actual physical proof that a threat was placed, and the ex-boyfriend or ex-husband, whatever, he, this is what I found really abhorrent, he threatened to kill Kip James, like literally kill him, seriously kill him, on more than one occasion during this three-way tirade. And this is where I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, things are gone too far. Some kind of intervention needs to take place. When you've got somebody who insists on not just, you know, screwing up the life of the guy that she got involved with, but not, you know, you got to look at the bigger picture. His life's been affected. His wife's life has been affected. Their kids have been affected. Her kid has been affected. And her ex's life has been affected. And, you know, certain lives have now been unalterably changed and not for the better. You know, it's a case of, you know, I'm a selfish little cunt and I'm going to fucking do this to do everything I can to fuck you up. Okay, congratulations, you got your revenge. You're still a fucking douchebag. Spug.
First of all, you're being a little bit too hard on Miss whatever her nuts is and not hard enough on Billy. Because the simple fact of the matter is he's married and he should have known better than to begin with than to stick his dick in it. Isn't that part of the vows? To honor and to cherish till death do you part? He obviously didn't honor or cherish, did he?
Well, again, you know, you can say that I'm not...
That's the question. Did he? Yeah, it's a simple yes or no.
Well, I wasn't at the ceremony, but we'll assume that that happened.
Right. So, Mr. James didn't do his part. And so, therefore, he's not necessarily squeaky clean in all this either. I don't care who you are, what your name is. You know, you could be the president of the United States for all I care. I don't.
Why do you have to bring up Bill Clinton?
Because he tried to stick his dick in it.
He did try to stick his dick in it.
Actually, it was a cigar, and by all accounts, he smoked it afterwards. But that being beside the point. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, like, what can you say about the guy who cheats on his wife? Okay, I'm not being lenient on him. I mean, he fucked up, and it was a dumb goddamn thing he did. And yeah, he deserves to wind up divorced if his wife, or soon his estranged wife, let's call her, decides that that's the best thing to do. But you know, dirty laundry. You don't air it in public just to get even with somebody.
Well,
that's what she chose to do, and I'm not saying she's right.
Yeah, well,
I'm not saying she's right.
One of the things,
a ring rat.
Yeah, one of the things that she said in this in several of these phone conversations, something like, "Okay, you're on my good side. You don't want to be on my bad side." And he's like, "What the fuck are you talking about, bad side? Oh, you don't need to worry about it. But don't piss me off. You'll be on my bad side, and I'll do something." Well, the something that she did was to post these phone calls and stuff like that on YouTube. And Jersey Girl, a couple of people thought it might have been a work, but this is legitimate. And there's pictures of her with Kip James. The phone conversation, his voice is absolutely unmistakable. This is legit. As a matter of fact, he was some people have attempted to get a hold of Kip James to book him as a guest for a online wrestling webcast. I'm not going to mention names or anything else like that. I'm just telling you right now that he hasn't returned any of the requests or anything like that. And 2 days after the request was made, this came out. She posted them a week ago yesterday. And a week ago yesterday, the phone calls were 4 days old.
You know, as much as she's at fault, as much as she's at fault, he's at fault too. Because one, he should have known better. Two, we're in a day and age of media that if someone farts, it's on YouTube 30 seconds later.
Yeah, only if there's a lighter involved.
With cell phones, smartphones, video cameras, digital video recorders, all that crap. Anybody and everywhere can be their own personal little journalist now. And I use that term lightly, but you get what I mean.
Yeah.
And yeah. So... No.
The World Wide Web has turned everybody into a blogger / journalist. I know exactly what you're talking about. Continue.
Exactly. And so, excuse me. And so the moment he made phone calls to her, and if she gives any type of, idea that, you don't want to mess with me, I know, I have ways of getting back. Dude, your life's pretty much over at that point.
Well, she's the one who insisted on continuing to contact him. And I think that I think it was a setup right from the beginning. And it's not a case of, he's calling her to say, don't bug me anymore. You can hear she's the one making the phone calls, continually making the phone calls, recording them. I mean, this is like Mel Gibson and Grigorova. Only on a whole different level, if you understand what I'm talking about with that.
Hell, in the first part, she's talking to a friggin' mechanic at the same time while he's going apeshit.
Yeah.
She knew exactly what she was doing from stage one.
Oh, yeah.
Mind you, he knew what he was doing from stage zero. So they're both at fault as much as the other.
Oh, they're both extremely in the wrong. And once again, I'm not condoning Kip James for his transgressions. And, here's the thing, right? It happened, he fucked up, move on. The wife found out about it, well, let her divorce you and take 50% of everything that you own, as is her right. Other people, whether they're involved or not, shouldn't make any kind of a deal out of it like what was done. It should be something, kept in-house, kept quiet, kept private, kept on the QT. The general public, us, we don't need to know about this shit. the entire world doesn't revolve around Jerry Springer-like shit, which is exactly what this is. Not once in this phone call did he make any kind of a threat. All threats were coming from her. The final phone call, a death threat was issued. It has been recorded. It's something that can actually be used to screw her up, and as well as her ex, and both of them can face potentially face jail time if this got pursued. Now you put these two in jail, what happens to the kid? You see where I'm going with this, Mace?
Yeah.
So
keep going.
But
you're on a roll, Timmy. Go for it.
You know, like, it's quite simple. It's like you said, and it's our new saying right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, don't stick your dick in it. And that's the bottom line. Don't
fuck up.
Does that
go along with I hate your face?
No. Well, I guess, you know, it's beside it. I hate your face, don't stick your dick in it. Think about it. 3, 2, 1.
Fail me, Tim.
There you go. Okay, so, yeah, so there's that, you know, this check, bottom line, and yeah, this is my editorial opinion, because this is going to be, this is currently being recorded and it's going to be posted in the archives. I'm stating this right now in advance to keep me from getting in trouble legally. This is my humble opinion. The girl's a fucking douchebag piece of shit, trailer park trash, and you thought they only came from Alabama. Surprise! Oh, quick question from Jersey Girl in the chat room. Can you be put in jail in Canada for taping a phone conversation without the other person knowing it? Here's the thing, Jersey Girl. In Canada, taping a phone conversation is not only legal, it is admissible in court as long as one of the people on the phone knows it's being taped. This, despite the fact that this is the, you know, this chick is the one who was taping the phone call, and it wasn't a third-party wiretap. So there's your answer and a little bit of Canada legalese. So that being said, you know, I've said my editorial piece on it. She's a piece of fucking trash, and that's my opinion. Spike, any closing comments?
No.
Okay, no. Mace, you got anything to say about it other than don't stick your dick in it?
No, that's about it. That's about as far as you can go with it. Don't stick your dick in it.
Alrighty then. There it is, everybody. Hey, you know what? We're going to take a quick little time out, come back, take a look at a couple more news stories. We're going to get into the great debate as well. Make sure you don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more coming in. A very little time to give it to you right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I love to love them. I love to kick them. I love to shove them.
Quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Cindy Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Eat my pussy. I like big cocks. Fuck me harder. Fuck, I'm vibrating here. Sir Rockin' is the greatest producer on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rock is number one.
Really, Cindy? You really think of me like that? Oh, that's so sweet.
Egomaniac.
Eat my pussy.
You want to know more about her dreams and fantasies and all of her, well, sexual desires? Tune in Thursday nights for Anything Goes, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'll even be there. Unless she kills me for taping this.
Rock?
Oh, crap. She found out. I'm a dead man.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people at internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
what's up?
What's your best medicine?
Rob Van Dam, 420 NG.
Cool.
WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There, I did it. Yeah, it looks like we're not going to have random DJ nights on Thursday nights, which is Friday morning for you, Mace, anymore, because Anything Goes will make its return to the Wild Talk Radio Network this coming Thursday, 10 o'clock-ish Eastern Time. And I say ish because, I don't know, you know, Cindy could start at 9:45 just so she could talk about her newest dildo or vibrator or whatever. Who knows? I don't know. Anything Goes Thursday night, right around 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That being said, there's your plug for Cindy's return. She did 90 minutes last night, the CB Radio post-show, after-show thing. So, everybody did Cindy for an hour and a half last night. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, nothing. All right. I just feel the love, man. So, hey, guys.
It's two individuals who really don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I know that. so let's talk about wrestling. Guys, looks like NXT might have a little bit of a minor setback. Skip Sheffield broke his ankle in Hawaii the other day. What do you think this means for his future with the Nexus group and for Nexus itself in WWE, Mace?
He'll come back and he'll get a title. Well, isn't that the way it works? You go, you break something, you come back, you win a championship.
Well, it seems like it, but he hasn't had any kind of push yet for that to happen. Isn't that the other thing you need? You need a push first?
Like that fucking matters.
I thought it did. I don't know.
Go Which one's Skip Sheffield?
He's the bald penis.
Looks like a penis.
Guy. Yeah.
Oh, he's the penis.
Yeah, he's the penis.
I love this show. I love this show. We've gone from high class intelligent questions to Charlie Haas to penis jokes.
Only problem is, Dude. It's not a joke. The guy looks, you just draw a line on the back of his head and he'd look like a phallic.
Didn't I say that last week? Excuse
Did
me.
Did you?
Did you?
Yeah,
did you?
I did. Well, I did.
Okay, well, you might have, but that just shows how much attention we pay to you.
I believe I'm the one that started making the references to him looking like a penis.
Yeah, it's quite possible. You and your infatuation with phallics and phallic symbols, I don't know. So what does this mean for WWE with Skip going down with injury, Spud?
Does the phrase, who gives a fuck, come to mind? Because it does for me.
Really? Don't care?
I could give a shit less. There's only two individuals in that Nexus group worth a shit.
And that would be Wade Barrett.
Barrett and Tarver.
Really? Tarver?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't think it'd be Tarver.
Well, I'm a bit biased on Tarver because I wrestled with him in Akron. And so, like, I know the guy personally. He's a good guy.
Okay.
So I'm a bit biased, but I will say this. If there's anybody who can make it within the WWE and the actual world of professional wrestling as opposed to the indies, it's Tarver. Because he knows his shit. He's not a dummy when it comes to the history of the business and things like that. And the dude is a gym freak. And I don't mean like a Triple H bodybuilding gym rat. I mean that dude, if he can find ring time to work out, he will find it. Like he will seek it out. So
well, I'm kind of surprised you didn't pick the alternative lifestyle guy. What's his name?
Oh, the dude with semen in his hair? Fuck him.
Yeah, guys, Mace, Spug, are you guys sick of this NXT thing going on, or have you had enough of it by now?
I was sick of it friggin' months ago.
What about you, Spug?
I'm sick of it to a point because we all know, like, I can't stand fucking Heath Slater. I wish somebody would shoot him in the face.
Wendy's.
Okay. Now, you know, yeah, you know something good happens when you get a Wendy's chant on Raw.
I can't stand Heath Slater. I really wish someone would shoot him in the face. You know, one of these days when he gets fired from WWE, we're going to interview him, and I'm going to have to shut my mouth the entire interview. Because I'm just going to have to resist the urge to call him a ginger kid the entire time.
We just won't bring you on the show that night.
I'd appreciate that. I'd appreciate that if you did that night.
Yeah. But go ahead.
We all know Wade Barrett's, like, you know, the next good heel. I mean, dude, one, he's got the physique for it. I mean, he's not, like, gigantically big, but he's got the physique for it. Two, the dude's British. You're in America. We automatically hate British people.
Yeah, I could see that. Americans can't stand the Brits as a rule for the most part.
Exactly.
I'm Australian, and even I can't stand the Brits.
Exactly.
Well, that's because you're a descendant of criminals, Mace, and they were they were put on the island. Britain's version of Alcatraz.
Yeah, we haven't really gone that far. Anyway, but to be honest with this Nexus group, none of them have really had a chance to branch out. None of them had a chance to really jump in the spotlight besides Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
And personally, I found that the second they started this Nexus group, that I didn't need to bother watching NXT because the guys will show up on WWE TV anyway.
Yeah.
So, man, I haven't even I've watched probably two episodes of NXT this season, and I'm a big fan of Loki. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Loki, yet I can't be bothered watching because I know they'll show up probably on SmackDown when it's over.
Yeah, I get the feeling that NXT 1.0 will wind up having to defend themselves against NXT version 2.0 right around the time SmackDown debuts on Sci-Fi. I don't know.
Hold on.
What? Go ahead. Yep.
If they continue this with Nexus 2.0, I may have to go slit Vince's throat. Be like, you've lost it, old man.
Because okay, you want to
Yeah.
That is the worst idea ever.
Well, you never know. Shit might happen. But, no, the reason I brought this up is because, like, we were all, you know, after 3 weeks of NXT on TV, or even 2 weeks of NXT on WWE Raw, we were all collectively sick and tired of the bullshit. And I fall into that category. I was like, get the fuckers off my TV. I don't have time for them. Then all of a sudden, SummerSlam came around. And I have to admit, even though we collectively agreed that the booking of that match was wrong, that with Cena being the last man standing for Team WWE, he should have lost and tapped out to Wade Barrett, or they should have let the returning Daniel Bryan actually be the last member of Team WWE and have him get the win and make it look really good. However, they needed to have him smacked by The Miz so he and The Miz can start a program. You know that the U.S. title is going to be on Daniel Bryan's waist within the next 2 months as a result of it. And mark my words, you heard it here first. This will happen within 2 months. Daniel Bryan will be the U.S. title holder. They got to have to get the U.S. title off Miz at some point in time before he actually seriously cashes in that Money in the Bank thing. But this happens, and then the night after on Raw, we see the Black John Cena get eliminated from the group. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, you know what? This is an interesting storyline. I am interested now in seeing how this plays out and how they plan on booking it from here out into the future. It's kind of sort of hooked me a little bit. And it got me thinking about all the times we bitch, moan, cry, and complain about there's no proper storytelling in WWE anymore. All programs have 2 months maximum from genesis to completion. Now we've got something that's been going on for, 4 or 5 months now. It's a storyline. It's along the same line as all of the stuff we used to watch, excuse the expression, back in the day. And it's very reminiscent of the things that we have been moaning and bitching about collectively. Now, I'm not pointing any one person out. The internet is rife with these webcasts, and these webcasts are rife with people who are bitching about something. It just strikes me.
Didn't I make a commercial about this?
Yeah, it's cool to bitch about it because everybody else is doing it. You know, I'm looking at this right now and I could understand, okay, I was not into it right up until SummerSlam and then the following night, the Raw after SummerSlam. Now I'm interested in this storyline and it hit me, Mace. They're doing something here that's an extended angle, something that we have mourned the lack of in recent years.
I'm going to disagree with you. This just feels like a way to start breaking up the Nexus because I think they've gotten to the point where they're like, we've got nothing else to do with these guys. Let's start breaking them off and giving them their own runs and getting rid of the guys we don't need. Let's face it, Black Cena ain't going to work.
Mm.
And by the way, I will say a quick thank you to Jersey Girl for putting this image in my head with a comment she made in the chat room. She said something about low-key kicking Cole's head off. All of a sudden, I'm picturing Cole wrapped up in the cattle mutilation by Danielson and low-key just coming along and kicking his head off in the third row. That's just an awesome image.
That's a great image. Yeah. Go ahead, Spud.
We could only be so lucky if that were to happen. We could only be so lucky because they would be doing us a favor. And here's the thing. I don't like it when sportscasters do it. I really don't. I understand that if you're, covering a team like the Indians or the Browns, then yeah, you kind of got to root for that team. But if you're, a national guy, then there's no reason for you to, have any rooting interests. The same thing with wrestling. I hate how they gimmick this and, have Cole all up on the Miz's shit because he thinks, Brian Danielson's a phony. Well, I tell you what, Cole, Danielson's been doing this for a very long time, and I guarantee you, he gets in the ring with you, or you have the balls to step into the ring with him, before a show, he'll stretch your ass so far out, your boyfriends in San Francisco won't recognize it anymore.
Oh, cheap shot.
Yikes. but, so jumping back to the storyline thing for a moment.
Yeah.
I'm taking a look at this angle that they've got going on Raw, and I'm pretty much going, okay, it's time to break them up. On the opposite end of the spectrum, I'm watching TNA. They've done a very slow formation of Ric Flair's horseman-like stable called Fortune. They've brought in the ECW guys, and this week on Impact, you had Fortune taking out everybody right and left. I was more interested in that than I was in what's going on Raw. I don't know why, whether it's the slow build to finally start in the lead up to the big point, or if it's the fact that this other one's been going on so long that I've just lost that much interest in it that I can't pick it back up.
Well, you know, as far as TNA is concerned, anything that'll help their ratings. However, ratings for this last Thursday was actually down from the 1.2s that they've been seeing lately. However, it was still a good show. Who knows why people didn't tune in to watch it last Thursday night. But nice transition. We're about to talk about TNA stripping Rob Van Dam of the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Now, here's the thing. TNA has signed all these guys, and they've got these contracts where, okay, you got to work a certain number of dates on this contract. Once those dates are worked, that's it. We renegotiate, or you're out of the company, or whatever. Now, TNA's been running out of dates on RVD's contract. Have they made the mistake by signing the top talent to limited dates and building the storylines around them, you know, like Mick Foley, Ric Flair, and Rob Van Dam, Mace?
The words hell and yes come to mind. This is a very big drawback for TNA at the moment, because with these guys being on limited contracts and yet being such big stars in the company, that you get in things like this, a stupid friggin' title tournament that shouldn't have happened. Mm. I would have turned around and go, okay, Rob, we've got you on a thing for X number of dates. How much do you want to extend it?
Yeah that would
we need you. Here's more money. You know, what do we need to keep you around longer? Or, hell, have just actually signed him to a proper contract, because they've just done that with a lot of the EV2 guys.
Uh-huh.
You know, all these guys on limited dates, you know, same with Foley and Flair. You know, give these guys actual contracts and let them work properly, because if you work in limited dates, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot sooner or later.
Yeah, this is true. See where you're going with that one. Spug, any comment on it? We know how much of a TNA whore you are.
Hello, my name is Dixie Carter and Jeff Jarrett, and I have no clue how to run a wrestling promotion.
That pretty much sums it up, eh?
Pretty much.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so it's our blunted opinion that TNA made a mistake, and they shouldn't sign people who they're going to build storylines around to limited dates. This is kind of an interesting little news tidbit, guys. I don't know if you heard about this, but former ECW wrestler Balls Mahoney, that's right, Cojones, was arrested by the cops along with another wrestler. I don't have the other wrestler's name in front of me. But they staged a fake fight just outside of a restaurant to try to draw interest to their upcoming match for an independent promotion. Brings to mind question of, you know, carrying, you know, the word kayfabe. Carrying it a little bit too far just to gain interest, Mace.
Hey, Spug, didn't Carino tell us a story along these lines not too long ago?
Was it Carino or was it Ken Jindrak. Anderson?
No, it was Jindrak, wasn't it?
Jindrak. Jindrak told us a story about this.
Yeah.
And so all I have to say is, can never carry kayfabe too far. Never.
Okay.
It goes back to the days of yore. You know, I mean, like way back when wrestlers, if you were a heel or you were a babyface, you didn't even eat in the same restaurant.
Yeah.
Like you didn't go to the same bars. You didn't eat in the same restaurants. You didn't stay in the same hotels. Nothing. And if you rode together, you made damn sure that nobody saw you driving into town together.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you can't carry kayfabe too far. Those are two guys.
Spoke, the only thing that these guys probably did wrong was the fact that the cops were called. They didn't let security or the owners of the restaurant or whatever
know
in on it.
Well, yeah, here's the thing about that. Here's the thing about that, guys. Everybody's just standing around watching, going, "Oh my goodness, oh my goodness!" Until one of these guys pulled a knife. The knife was flashed, and then everybody picks up the cell phones and hits 911.
Yeah, the moment you do that, it's kind of not a good idea. So,
yeah, that was stupid.
That was stupid. I will agree with that. That particular point, you know, it became retarded. But other than that, man, you can't carry kayfabe too far. Good on him for doing it.
Well, definitely drummed up some kind of interest. Takes me back to when I was a young guy and Bad News Allen, wrestling for Stampede Wrestling, had to be suspended for 30 days and was literally run out of town by city council. They didn't understand, professional wrestling. Everything was real back then. If you weren't smart to the business, then you believed what you saw. And it all had to do with him breaking Archie the Stomper Goldie's son's neck, which was, the whole thing was storyline. And to this day, I still say that the promo that Archie the Stomper cut on Stampede Wrestling is the best promo I have ever seen in my life. It's on YouTube. Just type in Archie Stomper promo, and you can see it. Very, very, he's not shouting, he's not boisterous, he's not overboard, he's not like flailing his arms or yelling. He's very, very quiet, and you have to listen very, very carefully to what he's saying. And like I said, to this day, that is the best pro wrestler promo I have ever heard cut. I don't know if you guys have ever checked it out or not.
No, I haven't.
I strongly urge you to, after the show is over, head on over to YouTube. Everybody, head on over to YouTube and just type in, first off, you want to hear the phone conversations, you want to type in, Kip James, and it'll come up in that search listing. And then after that, type in Archie Stomper promo. And, you can type in Archie Stomper promo Stampede Wrestling. That might help narrow it down a little bit. But, like I said, it's pretty much just the most impressive promo I have ever heard in my entire life. That's the height and the glory of the golden days of kayfabe, as it were. Drawing up interest for a professional wrestling match, sure, okay, you're going to stage a fake fight outside of a bar or a restaurant, great, have all these people standing around going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Don't use a prop knife. Don't use any kind of prop weapon.
No, use really? A real one and get done for real.
Seriously, just like smack each other around, do the pile driver to the pavement or whatever. Sell the move naturally, but don't draw any kind of a weapon, prop or real or otherwise, whatever. Know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're gonna do something like that, just throw punches, throw each other around, and then if you want to draw some blood or something. Just throw one of the guys into the toilet and then just blade a little bit and then come back out.
Yeah, there you go.
Make it look like you've been done. There's ways to do this without actually having to kill people.
Absolutely. On that note, everybody, we're going to take another quick little timeout. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's Wrestle Talk Radio. We got the great debate coming up now. We're short two bodies, so what we're going to do, those of you listening and sitting in the chat room, if you got Skype or you got a telephone and you want to get in on the great debate, we want to hear from you. Let us know in the chat room if you want to get in on it. We'll pick two of you to get into the great debate for tonight with me, the Spud Guy, and Mace right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Tomorrow's my reason for the day I let go. Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Well, yes and no. He's the old host, but he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojnarowski.
No, Mace, you have it wrong. It's Alan Wojnarowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Montonsubi.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time. Remember, we're on Eastern Time. Till basically, me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet Davis?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know my name.
A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out. Tweet your friends right on their walls. Spread the word for a can't-miss moment.
Yes, I'm glad Rock's recording because this will be probably one of the only times you'll ever hear me say that I was actually impressed by Mr. Anderson tonight. He did very well. They set up the Jeff Hardy splash in the corner thing, and at the last possible second, Anderson gets up, grabs Hardy in a power slam, dropped him down for a quick two count, and I was impressed, sir.
Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Mr. Bossy, Boss Bosserson. Yeah, you guys could read the production chat in the background. You'd know where that came from. But before we continue here, got to do one tiny little thing. That's right. Going to enjoy a nice, fresh, frosty, cold one.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait. Mmm. Nothing better than beer.
Nothing better than beer, some bitch. God damn, that's good.
Nice and refreshing. That's all I can tell you. Everybody, yeah, now it's just about time we get into the great debate. And before we went to break, I said, guys, we wanted to hear from you. Well, before we even had a chance to see what's going on in the chat room, we had two people call in on Skype. We got the one and only Jersey Girl. Jersey Girl, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just great. Thank you very much. Did you enjoy the Charlie Hiles interview?
A little bit of it before his kids came in. I did.
Yeah, the little bit that he was able to do. I got good news for you in case you missed it. He's going to come back and do an entire two-hour interview with us.
Bless you.
Gesundheits, Bug.
I exploded.
With your real last name. What it is, you have to say Gesundheit, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, so you're looking forward to 2 hours, basically an evening with Charlie Haas on Russell Talk Radio, maybe?
Yeah, because I actually want my question answered from the WFX thing.
Yeah, well, we'll try to get that question answered and a lot more, as a matter of fact, when we get him come back. And then the other person who contacted us, we're just waiting for him to come back. He's resetting his Skype. It's Josh. Josh Stockett. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
He didn't stick his dick in it.
I think he may have stuck his dick in it.
While I have you guys here.
Uh-oh.
Mainly Tim and Mace. I'm wrestling in November. And so I'm gonna use some new entrance music. And I usually have used Amon Amarth's Death and Fire.
Yeah.
But I think I'm changing it up. And I can't decide whether I want to go with Whiplash by Metallica. Or Symphony of Destruction by Megadeth.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to figure out what I go with. Do I go with Symphony or do I go with Whiplash?
Huh. Interesting. Are you going to be wrestling under the name The Spug Guy?
No, I never wrestle under Spug anymore.
What are they going to call you when you make... And now, entering the ring from Asshole, Ohio.
I just wrestle under... I just wrestle under War Machine.
Just
War Machine.
Oh, War Machine. Okay. Tell you what, never mind the entrance music, okay? I'm going to keep, I'm going to do what Quentin Tarantino does. I've got your name. Now I'm going to go through my music collection and come up with
I'm not using
ideas.
War Machine by Kiss, and I'm not using the version by 6 Feet Under. I've done that.
Okay, I got news for you. Those are the last two things I would have picked.
I know, but...
What about Popeye Nightmare?
I was thinking, like, I want to use something that's, like, you know, full on, just hits you in the face. I thought for a while of using Disposable Heroes off of Master Puppets.
Nah. I don't know.
But then I'm like, man, Symphony of Destruction is just awesome.
I don't know.
I think we got Josh back. Hopefully. I don't know. He tried to call in, look like.
Oh.
Poor Josh.
Or Blackened, which is about, you know, nuclear winter, but that that's got too long of an intro. I'm in the ring before the guitar riffs start.
Do you want something like a deep, dark thing, or do you want like...
Oh, it's metal. It's gotta be metal.
You want something driving, something that just like goes out full, tits out.
Yeah, I mean, Jersey Girl, I don't know, have you ever heard Symphony of Destruction?
No.
No, alright. Have you ever heard Blackened?
No.
No, all right, never mind. Tim, you've heard Symphony of Destruction, correct?
Yeah, yeah, I've heard Symphony of Destruction.
I mean, you know what Symphony of Destruction sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, something like that. I mean, I was, for a while, I was using Death and Fire by Amon Amarth, and then when Donnie and I were tagging together, and then after we split up, I had used that song that Burning River Radio's intro was for a while, which was there we go, Rock. You take a mortal man and put him in control. See? Something like that.
You want is what you're looking for.
Yes. I want the moment that hits, that somebody... Hmm. The feeling I want the crowd to have is somebody's about to get fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what I want to know is, Mace, when you hit the ring, what music do you use?
Last time I worked heel, I was using Raining Blood.
Raining
Good
Blood.
Good song! You know what? Thank you, Mace. You just gave me an idea. He just gave me an idea. Forget Symphony of Destruction. Forget Blackened. Forget Whiplash. War Ensemble.
Okay. The one thing that I'm wondering is why it sounds like Mace is halfway across the room making lunch instead of being up where his microphone
is. Yeah, it's because I had the microphone pointed towards the room and said towards my mouth. Shut the fuck up.
You gave me an idea, Mace.
I'm going to use
War Ensemble, which is off the same album, and oh my god, I was just at the Slayer show Wednesday night.
Hmm.
Slayer, Megadeth, and Testament.
Lucky bastard.
Oh my god, it was great. I lost a tooth.
Ooh.
That's how you've had a good experience.
It was great. I lost teeth. I lost a tooth way back in the back of my mouth. I got I was in the pit, and Slayer did their trifecta of almost crowd riot. They played War Ensemble, and then they played South of Heaven, and then they played their quadruple whatever. But they played War Ensemble, then they played South of Heaven, and then they played God, Angel something. I can't remember the name of the song. And then they played Raining Blood. And during Raining Blood, we were moshing, and I saw an elbow, and I didn't get an arm up in time to block it, and it clocked me in the side of the mouth and knocked a tooth loose. And then later, eating at Denny's, I ran into the guy who knocked my tooth loose, and then it fell out. And he's like, "I'm sorry, dude," and he paid for my breakfast. It was kind of cool.
Oh, hey, well, if you get your breakfast paid for, you take an elbow to the side of the head anytime, right?
See, people, like, get this misconception about metalheads that we're all just violent, rowdy, and we don't care.
Oh, only when we're listening to the music. Afterwards, yeah, you know, we're cool, calm, and collected.
And you know, most of us are like, you know, we heard somebody in the pit, we're like, "Oh, my God, I'm sorry." You know, immediately it stops. And like, "Are you all right?" And then it's back to beating each other up. Like wrestlers.
Yeah, there you go. Just reminded me of a cartoon I saw one time, a long time ago. It was Popeye as a boxer taking on Bluto, and he's in midair about to fall down on the canvas. The bell rings, everything stops. He picks himself up literally out of midair, sits down.
Let's just go!
And then you got to do that, and it's like, boom. So, okay, tell you what, let's just launch into the great debate. Right now, we got Hulk Hogan taking on Sting, Ric Flair versus Big Van Vader. We're going to start with Ric Flair versus Vader, and we'll throw it to Mace.
This is pretty much one of those ones where it's like, yeah, 50-50 split. You know, Vader was a decent champ. Vader was one of the, I think it was number three in holding it. But yet you got Ric Flair, who is, well, shit, he's Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm going to have to go with Ric Flair, because, well, he is Ric Flair, and if we don't let him win, he'll cut another apeshit promo and throw himself on the canvas and cry like a little baby.
And he'll elbow drop his leisure suit jacket.
Yeah.
So, 1-0 Ric Flair. Why don't we go to you next, Josh? Welcome to WrestleTalk Radio.
Of course you would have to ask me, so I'm still trying to get everything set up. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Considering, it's Ric Flair versus who?
Ric Flair takes on Vader.
I'm going to have to go with Flair. He is the 16-time world champion.
Uh-huh.
He's... I mean, I've never didn't really catch much of Vader's in your Vader's world championship runs, but Flair's got the experience.
Okay, there you go. 2-0 Flair. We're going to go to our other call-in, Jersey Girl.
There should be no doubt. It should be Flair. Just the same reason. He's the 16-time world champion. He's more known than Vader. I mean, yeah, Vader's done his thing, but he's not... I mean, he's more... Flair's more known than Vader, so, I mean, it should be no contest. It should be Ric Flair.
There you go. Another one for Ric Flair. Spug.
Vader. Why? Because his name is Vader.
It's not the same guy that's going to crush you with the dark side of the force, Spug. It's okay.
Don't care. Vader.
Okay. There you go. We've got one dissenting vote so far, and it's Vader. You know, I'd love to say Vader, but I got to say Rico Flair, 16-time world champion. What are you going to do? It's Ric Flair, damn it. So Ric Flair looks like he moves on to the finals. Alrighty then. Next matchup tonight will be Hulk Hogan taking on the guy known as WCW's franchise, the one and only Sting. And we'll start with you, Jersey Girl.
Oh, gosh. This is a harder choice because you both have both people just going into, like, the business and have both contributed in the business. I say Sting. Just because he has done, to me, he has been more charismatic than Hogan. He has more wrestling moves than Hogan.
Yeah.
And he keeps you guessing, I guess you can say. I mean, he keeps you on your feet. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what he's going to be involved in next. And then, I mean, with Hogan, you're like, oh, okay, here's the ear thing, and there's the leg drop. Oh, he got pinned. Wow.
Okay. All right, so there you go. Sting from Jersey Girl, Josh.
As much as I dislike the guy right now, I'm going to have to go with Hogan. Hogan's the face of wrestling today. In the past and everything, even though Sting is great, is a big name in itself, you wouldn't have wrestlers like The Rock, Cena, Edge, or more or less half of the WWE roster if it wasn't for Hogan.
Wow. All right, so we got 1-1, Hogan being the face of wrestling. Holy fuck, you had to reach back at least 15 years for that, but we'll give it to you. Spug.
It's Sting! Oh my god! He was the franchise of WCW.
Yeah.
He was handpicked by Flair to be his successor on Flair's way out. And I don't know what kind of promotion, so to speak, you need other than that. Sting!
There he goes. 2-1 for Sting. Mace!
Multiple bolts.
He said Sting.
Spots. Lost. It's. Yes.
Yeah, Mace, we got a problem on Skype. You're sounding kind of like marbles or something like that. Did you vote Sting or did you vote Flair?
Hogan.
Uh-oh, it's tied. He voted Hogan.
Wow.
That brings it down to me. Well, let's see. Hulk Hogan made his mark in the World Wrestling Federation. He was basically the World Wrestling Federation. Carried the title for a long time. Finally goes over to WCW. WCW's ratings increased coincidentally with the arrival of Hulk Hogan. That in itself would be enough to say, yeah, Hulkster, but I'm giving it to Sting. The reason being, Sting, franchise of WCW, Sting never worked in WWF, was always WCW. Sting was handpicked to be Flair's successor. Sting was the guy. Sting was WCW. And for all those reasons and more, my vote goes to Sting, who squeaks past Hulk Hogan right here on The Great Debate, guys. Yay, Sting! Yay, woo! Sting!
Woo! Next week's going to be interesting.
Fuck next week.
Flair versus Sting. That's going to be very interesting.
Rick Flair versus Sting. Hey, you know, people have already told me that they're assuming Ric Flair is going to be the guy we wind up choosing. Is that the truth or not? Well, you're going to have to tune in next week to find out, because we're done with the great debate for this week. The finals next week, guys. Greatest WCW champion of all time. Make sure you stick around for that one. I'd like to say thanks, Josh.
No problem.
I'd like to say thanks, Jersey Girl.
Can I stay for quick hits?
You want to take Will's place?
Yes.
She can stay.
Thank
wow,
you.
There's only one problem. You got to pretend you're Omega.
So I got to be a jerk.
You got to be a geeky twerp with his own internet TV show talking about dolls that he collects.
Yeah, but I don't collect dolls. I'm not that lame.
Well, like
hey,
I said,
hey.
You got to pretend.
Hey,
and if I get to stay, who do I get to be?
Well, you get to be the drunk. And both of you, you leave my man Omega alone.
Oh, listen to this. Another
your
another
man. Wait a minute. Your man?
Yeah, another hey, man crush for Spug. I think Omega's going to be distressed.
Gay?
No, it's not gay. And you leave my best friend alone. You start picking on him, and we're gonna throw down, and we're gonna have words, and it's not gonna be friendly.
Yeah, I can pick on him, and that's perfectly fine. And I don't give a fuck what Spug says. Get him up. Oh, pick on him. We're going to throw down. Let's throw down, bitch. I don't give a damn. He's a
You're Canadian. You don't fight fair.
Oh, fuck you.
Scientifically proven.
You are an idiot. Scientists haven't proven anything negative about Canada or Canadians.
Yes, they have.
Only the biased American ones paid for by guys like you and Rush Limbaugh.
Those are the ones that are important.
You're an idiot. Okay, Mace, Mace, tell me that you're there. Please?
I hope so.
Oh, thank God.
Like marbles?
Yeah, no, you sound perfect. Yes, yes, yes. Please back me up on this, that Spug's an idiot.
No, I can't because I've got to do other shows with him.
You can still do other shows with him. Doesn't change the fact that he's an idiot. Come on.
No, I'm not supporting your idea, Tim. Stop trying to force me into it.
Fine. Then you're getting a reduction in pay.
Awesome. I go from nothing to nothing.
To less than zero. Good movie, by the way.
Right. You're not funny, Tim.
Sorry, there was an 80s movie marathon on the movie channel this weekend, so.
All right, isn't this a part of the show where we say, let's do it?
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wildfire.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hit.
All right, here it is, officially, a Quick Hits. You got two questions each, and I got bad news for you, Josh. We do have questions for you.
Shit.
don't fucking swear on the show. What the hell do you know? Anyway, we're going to start this one off. Okay, Jersey Girl, in your best Omega voice, here's your first question. Create a catchphrase for Nexus leader Wade Barrett.
I'm Wade Barrett. I like Chris Jericho. I'm from England, and I suck.
Alrighty then. You fail. That is the worst. That's the worst question phrase that I've ever heard. Spud, teach her how to do it and create a submission hold. Tell us what it would be and tell us what you would call it.
All right, I already have it. It's called the Weapon of Mass Destruction.
Okay.
It is a combination sleeper hold, and I cannot remember the name of it, but it is along the lines of the it's the Mexican stretch. You opponent is lying flat down on his belly. You step up, put your feet on the crook of his knees, wrapping his calves so that you touch shin to shin. Okay, once you get him back and you're sitting on your ass with your legs stretched out, his knees pushed out, you reach up and grab the head and lock your arm in a dragon sleeper.
Sounds painful.
It is. I've done it. I think I have pictures of it too.
Cool. Okay, you see, Jersey Girl, that's how you do it. Speaking of how you do it, Mace, what do you think of the new WWE Tag Team title belts?
Oh, these things are an absolute friggin' travesty of design. First off, why the fuck would you have gladiator friggin' helmets on a belt to begin with? They look tacky as fuck. Next thing, the actual color of the belt looks like shit brown. I'm sorry, but that does not look like a championship belt to me, and to be honest, the whole, oh my god, we're using dinner plate-sized plates for the actual belt, make it look like something that you'd find at either a really low-quality, low-budget indie show, or, frankly, just looks like somebody's gone and made them up in their backyard. This is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing to do to the tag team titles, but then again, it's the WWE. They don't give a shit about tag team wrestling.
All right, there you go. Josh, your turn. If you could manage any wrestler, who would it be and why?
I know this answer.
Well, let him answer it.
Mickie James.
Yep.
Okay.
She's hot, talented.
Yeah.
And I would have a ball managing her.
And you just want to be her stalker, right? And get away with it.
Is that so bad?
You want to get away with stalking?
You just want to be her pimp.
You just want to be her pimp.
Yeah, so to legally stalk her without getting a restraining order.
Yeah, pimp my ass. You want to be her bitch is what you want to be.
And is that so bad?
Fuck, it's Mickey James. Who's going to complain except Mickey James?
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Mace, you've got 30 seconds. Tell everyone how awesome you are.
Frankly, do I need to tell everybody how awesome I am? Because I am that awesome that I have gone beyond words, ladies and gentlemen. I am so awesome that I am one of the only guys on this network who still does commercials and actually made people believe that we fired Mav and Nick. You people believed it because I'm that awesome that I could make you believe it.
I didn't know it.
Okay, so 30 seconds starting now. Go.
But I'm awesome. But by the way,
yes, I am so awesome. I have shirts available on ilovemace.me.
.me. ilovemace.me. There you go. Everybody, buy the shirt. Forget about Mav.
The shirt and the buttons.
All right, there you go. Spug.
Yes.
You've been signed to star in a WWE film's buddy comedy. congratulations, first off.
Great.
Direct to DVD, you can fucking bet, because it's WWE Films. But who would you want to be your co-star?
Santino.
Now, before, okay, I was about to say, before that, you answer, you can't pick Triple H.
I was going to say that, too. I was like, I was
killing it. Santino, dude. Come
okay,
on.
That dude's you can,
golden.
Before you continue, Jersey Girl, it's their turn. You're not allowed to talk. Just me and the person answering, so hush. Continue, Santino Marella. Go ahead, Spug.
That dude's golden. I mean, come on. He's got that little bit going on with Uso right now. The bit that he did a couple of the Raw before SummerSlam with the Divas and being the ref. Oh, my God. Fantastic. The guy is comedy gold.
They're actually planning a sitcom for Santino Marella. Did you hear this rumor?
Sweet! I'll watch it. I will. That dude's awesome.
You didn't know?
No, I'll watch it.
He's apparently genuinely funny in real life, not just on WWE TV. So there you go.
You know what? I mean, come on. I had to go out and buy the Cobra t-shirt just because.
There you go. Okay. Josh, here's your question before we hang up on you. Do you think you could out-wrestle Hornswoggle?
He's a midget. Unless he gets wrapped in barbed wire and you give him a taco, of course I can.
Okay, you're about to
lies.
I'm gonna actually let Spug go ahead and rebut this one. Go ahead, Spug.
Do not underestimate the power of the midgets,
of the
my
midgets.
Friend.
If he was David, the retarded barbar rat midget with a taco, no, I couldn't beat him. But he's not, so yeah, I could beat him.
No, you couldn't, because he's a midget, and midgets are awesome. They're more awesome than Mace, and Mace is pretty fucking awesome.
He is, just ask him.
Damn right, buy my shirts.
www.
You have a comedy show, right, Mace?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's the Chicago Sports Pub. I am so awesome. I teleport to Chicago to do comedy and come all the way back to Australia. I'm that awesome.
Yes. I could just hear Mace's new entrance music. At the Copacabana.
That's Hold only on, that's Copa Mesa, God damn it.
Yeah, that's only funny to people who heard OWW Radio on the fallout from that show last week.
That's not funny. That's only funny to people who heard OTL the following night. Where I'm pretty sure we ruined all hope of ever talking to anybody from ROH again.
Yeah, well, all I got to tell you is eat a dick. I'm kidding. Don't take anything I say seriously, but really,
don't
eat a dick.
Don't stick your dick in it. Stick your dick in it.
Just eat it. All right, so it looks like Jersey Girl's last on the menu here. Now, remember, you're supposed to be Omega, and we all know how much Omega wants to have sex with Rob Van Dam. All right? Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. What are three negative things about Rob Van Dam?
Well, if I'm being Omega, there is no negative things about Rob Van Dam.
You got to come up with three of them. I was forced to say three negative things about Canada. Actually, I was forced
really
to say
did.
About 30. I had to make shit up because there's nothing bad about this country.
He has a big... He doesn't have that big of a bong.
Wait, what? You know what?
She said he doesn't have that big of a bong.
Okay.
He said...
I'm playing a mega here. I mean, come on. Oh, God, what else? See, if I was a mega, I'd be like, his wife is hot.
Yeah, but you're supposed to say negative thing.
I know, but I can't think of any negative things about him.
Really? Try that one.
Yeah. And he has no... I don't know. He collects action figures. I guess that's not very negative enough for...
Not if you're Omega.
Yeah.
Omega has a wall dedicated to Transformer dolls.
wall try like his entire room.
Well, yeah.
Not dolls.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. A Barbie is a doll. The original G.I. Joe is a doll. Transformers are action figures.
Yeah, sure they are. Okay, well, there you go. You know what? That's quick hits. And we're done. Thanks very much for playing Jersey Girl. The check's in the mail, just like the DVD. Shut up.
You don't mail DVDs out. You failed.
Yeah, I have yet to get my DVD.
Anyway, you've been listening to WTR Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, thanks for joining us for this non-pay-per-view edition. Don't forget, we got One Night with Charlie Haas coming up. He's promised to basically spend the entire show having a chat with us, and that's going to happen really, really soon. Stay tuned to the website. We're going to have a lot more interviews coming up right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget this Tuesday night, OWW Radio with Alan Wojcicki, or whatever his name is. And that is 9 o'clock Eastern Wednesday. Guys, what's going on Otaku Talk Live?
It's Sunday. Don't ask us what's happening on Wednesday.
Okay, I'll get back to you on Wednesday to find out. At 9 o'clock Eastern?
You're probably going to have
7 o'clock Eastern. What time? 8 o'clock Eastern? 9 o'clock Eastern. And are you showing up this time, Spock?
Last week, the week before. Unless an internal organ ruptures, I'll be there.
There you go. Don't rupture any more internal organs. You don't have that many left. Of course, Anything Goes returns Thursday night. Tune in if you want to hear Hot Chick talk about dildo sex and tits and stuff. And that's what she does. Friday night, DJ night. That's right. We're going to take the airwaves and play a bunch of music. Is it going to be theme night? I don't know yet. We just might take requests and just play All Request Night. And that's your theme night, All Request Night. This coming up Friday night. And before that, of course, we got Maverick with Running the Ropes and his cohort in crime, Nick. That's 6 o'clock Eastern. If you got nothing better to do, maybe check it out.
We released them.
Yeah,
commercial.
You got our hopes up, and then you just said, just kidding, right afterwards. So, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, that being said, Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. And then, of course, next Sunday, some more Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. Catch you next Sunday right here. WTR Sunday night.
Assholes.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.